You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The music of tomorrow is being written today. The music of tomorrow is almost ready to play.
Experience the musicals of tomorrow today. Get a glimpse inside the blueprint of an original musical being developed in real time. With New York Theatre Barn's podcast, The Musicals of Tomorrow.
The music of tomorrow.
I'm Joe Barros.
And I'm Jen Sandler.
And we're the hosts of The Musicals of Tomorrow. As the Artistic Director and Associate Artistic Director of New York Theatre Barn, we make space to speak in community with musical theatre writers and their creative teams.
Lifting up songs from original culture-shifting musicals in development and introducing them to a global audience has become a major part of New York Theatre Barn's evolving story.
Each original musical's intention, content, and journey are unique and extraordinary to the storytellers who create them. We believe that there is no formula for musical theatre except authenticity.
We recently spoke with the writers of Broken Ground, Christine Toy Johnson, and Jason Ma, and the writers of Love and Southern Discomfort, Bobby Day and Monica L. Patton.
Our first musical is Broken Ground, which has book and lyrics by Christine Toy Johnson and music and lyrics by Jason Ma.
Taking place in 1912 on the cusp of a new era for China, Broken Ground tells the story of an 18-year-old Shui Lan as she sets out on the path created for her by tradition and her family to marry a young soldier. Still grieving the recent loss of her mother and twin brother, and yearning to make peace with the new life before her, she seeks guidance from both Guanyin, the goddess of compassion, and the spirit of her mother. Transported to another space and time of an ancient myth via an embroidered story in Nu Shu, the centuries-old writing system created by and only for women, Shui Lan connects to her mother's wishes for her and discovers that she can indeed find happiness by both speaking her truth and honoring her destiny.
And now, here's our conversation with the writers of Broken Ground, Christine Toy Johnson and Jason Ma.
Hi.
Welcome, and we're so happy to have you both here. I was really excited about this story because I'd never heard anything like it or what this writing system, Nu Shu, was like at all. So there's something really special here. Jason, you are a true veteran of the theater community and a multi-hyphenate. You've been seen on and off Broadway in shows like Miss Saigon, Hamlet, Sly Fox, and Anthony and Cleopatra, among film and TV. You're also a celebrated writer of musicals such as Gold Mountain and Barcelona. Barcelona, you also wrote with Christine. Christine, you're also a true multi-hyphenate member of the theater community. We can frequently find you on stage in shows like the national tour of Come From Away, The Music Man, Flower Drum Song, and many others, including film and TV as well. And I grew up watching you in the Nonsense musical. I married Leo, Rue McClanahan as Reverend Mother. I wore out those VHSs.
Degrading yourself with a VHS.
I couldn't travel to New York growing up in the Bay Area, but it was exciting to see this incredible story of these nuns, an all-female show, basically, do incredible things like tap dance and dance on point and raise money for their dead order.
Yes. And roller skates in part two.
Yeah. You're also a director, filmmaker, podcast personality, self-proclaimed advocate for inclusion, and a writer. You've written shows such as The New Deal and The Secret Wisdom of Trees, and New York Theatre Barn had the great privilege of presenting excerpts from your musical, Till Soon, Anne, written with Bobby Cronin and featured in our 2018 New Work series. It's a really special show, inspired by true events. Till Soon, Anne tells the story of a young woman at the end of her journey with brain cancer who throws her family and closest friends a perfect final weekend, a party, determined to celebrate the life we're given and the art of letting go, which is an extraordinary song in the show.
Thank you.
So, as we said, you both are true multi-hyphenate artists. So when did you both discover that you were writers, or has writing always been in your blood as storytellers?
Well, I think like a lot of writers of color, I started writing because I noticed that I wasn't seeing stories about people that look like me populate our stages and in film and television. So I got a late start, actually, because I've been acting since I was a wee child, but it's been, and now I cannot imagine my life without it as part of my creative life.
I think I started writing songs probably in high school, but my first full-length musical also came out of the same impulse while I was in Miss Saigon. I just realized that the canon was so small for us, and there was not enough sort of variation in the way we were portrayed in the musical theater canon. I think Chris and I, and so many of us, there's a little herd of Asian American writers in New York City trying to expand the stories that are told about Asian people.
Absolutely. And what made you want to tell this story? You know, like Joe already said, it's something we've never seen before, and it's so exciting to us.
Well, I have to say that, so Jason and I wrote this show called Barcelona, and it was part of Village Theater's Festival of New Works in 2015. So that's when we got to know the fine people there. And Rob Hunt, the executive producer, took me out to lunch about 2 years ago when I was in Seattle with Come From Away. And he said, have you ever heard of Nushu, this language that was written by and for women? I hadn't. So he handed me a little manila folder with a couple of pages copied from various sources and said, I don't know what the story is, but I've always been interested in some musical that has this at its core. Of course, Jason was the person that I had to write this with. And through our research, it just became more and more exciting to us to be able to tell a story about empowerment, women being empowered by their curiosity and following through with it and being able to find their voices.
And in the course of this research, we started to see this sort of recurring theme and these very words, you know, it was a secret language, a language of tears. And as we continued to do more research, we realized that a lot of this was just people sort of projecting what it must have been like for these women. And after a while, I kind of started to feel like I needed to push back against this idea of a language of tears and Chinese women in perpetual misery and oppression. You know, whatever the systems are in place, whether it's oppression in the US or Europe or China, people find a way to be happy. They find a way to make their lives work. It just kind of set off all sorts of feelings and my sort of BS meter as far as this secret language of tears. So we have created this world where women are making it work. They have agency, they're active, they're productive, they're even happy.
Yeah. So I also wanted to just add, I forgot to say this, that the reason they were inspired to create this language was because they were in this large period of time in China not allowed to be educated, to write, read and write in their own dialect. So that's why they created it for themselves, so they could have a way to express themselves.
Connection, emotion, just wanting to be remembered. But it was not a secret necessarily. It wasn't some sort of code.
And this was a commission from the Village Theater. What was it like collaborating with that team on this? Commissions are always so different. You know, sometimes you get a grid of what they want. Sometimes they just say, go write and come back with something after. What was that experience like?
Well, we touched base a lot before the commission actually was formalized to get to know what they really had in mind. They weren't prescriptive about it, but just to get a sense of what kind of story they were interested in. I have to say that I was really, really very happy that at no point did they say, can you do this story about people in China, but maybe not have Chinese people in it? Or, you know, maybe only have three characters. So they never said any of that. And so we just let our imaginations go wild. And also we're so thrilled to be able to center a story on Asian people and Asian characters and give them a humanity that we don't see all that often in musicals about them.
And a community of strong women.
Right, exactly.
I think I was going to say unapologetically for sure.
Yes. There's no frail lotus blossoms in this show.
We have a message from the fine folks at Village Theater. We have Brandon Ivy here to tell you more about Village Theater.
Hi there. My name is Brandon Ivy, and I am the Associate Artistic Director and Head of New Musicals at Village Theater just outside of Seattle. And we are very proud to be the commissioning theater for Broken Ground by Christine Toy Johnson and Jason Ma. Village Theater has a long 40-year history of developing new musicals, including the Pulitzer Prize winner Next to Normal, Tony Award winner Million Dollar Quartet, as well as It Should Have Been You, Lizzie, Desperate Measures, The Noteworthy Life of Howard Barnes, Making Tracks, and many others. We are just at the beginning stages of the developmental process with Christine and Jason, and we are thrilled that New York Theater Barn audiences get to be the first in the world to hear some of this new material. We are very honored to be developing and supporting a new musical about a young woman who finds happiness by both speaking her truth and honoring her destiny. Enjoy Broken Ground.
I love that last thing that he said about how they're proud to support a woman who's speaking her truth and following her destiny. So with that said, we'd love to dive into material from the show. So tell us about our first song, Beyond the Broken Ground.
This song is sung by the luminous Ali Ewald, playing the character of Guanyin, the goddess of compassion. And our heroine, Shuelan, has just reached the depths of her despair, trying to navigate between her destiny and her curiosity. And she seeks help and guidance from Guanyin.
Here is Ali Ewald.
This is breathtaking.
Anytime you hear her, it's just like you can do no wrong, honestly.
It's an effortless, always effortless.
Mm-hmm. I emailed her the song and she just showed up. We went through it a couple times and then we taped it. She's amazing.
Sounds like her.
I love the things that you will rise anew as the blessings come to you. It's beautiful.
Thank you. So let's hear about our second song.
Well, the second song, it comes from what we call the world of the embroidery. Shuelan receives this embroidery from her mother who died. And in the embroidery, there's an ancient myth. And as in any fable or myth or parable, it's this world of ideas and metaphor and lessons. And so we meet our first character and we meet a character in the embroidery. If he had an archetype, I'd call him the Destroyer. He's the Dragon King of the Eastern Sea. which will be sung by Johnny Lee Jr. And the song is The Sea of Me.
I was just going to say Johnny Lee Jr. was instrumental in the development of Eastbound early on and really incredible. Yeah. So we're thrilled to have him here tonight.
Oh. Here is Johnny Lee Jr.
Now go away, you little bird like less than nothing. You're annoying me and blocking the view of my sea.
Your sea? You can't just keep it all to yourself.
Why not? I deserve it. I'm swimming in the sea. Just swim in the sea of me. There's no better place to be than the sea. Do you see? Kind of song, just being all kinds of strong. Move along, cause you're wrong for the sea of me, the sea of me. Duality of me. Do you see? Do you see me?
I see you. I'm not as special as you think you are. Now let me see what I want to see.
I hate you creatures with needs. You mortal humans and all the other breeds. You want my sea and you plead to receive and to feed and to succeed.
Such a clever play on words, and it's so expansive at its incubatory state. I really can't wait to see what this sounds like with an orchestration. I just love the bass motive and the accompaniment.
And it's just so drastically different from the first song.
Totally.
Our world of the embroidery was a place for us to play with ideas and also just to kind of incorporate what's been going on all around us recently and how it connects to the main story.
Mm-hmm. That's a great time to get to our closing question then. Why did you feel it was important to tell a cultural tale about women and maternal relationships over anything else?
Well, you know, I feel like so much of my life's work actually has been about shifting perceptions of who we are and what we can do, especially Asians and Asian Americans. And that's not only through my advocacy work, but literally writing us into the narrative of American storytelling. So it all connects for me in being able to tell this story.
What about you, Jason?
What Chris said.
This is why we're friends for life, too.
Yeah, we've known each other since 1989.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's another show in itself.
It is. this story, I have four nieces who I love very, very much. And there's this journey that girls take to becoming women. And it's a little heartbreaking because there's always this point in the development where they realize that the world and the sort of structures in place are not going to be friendly or safe for them. And I hope telling stories like this and watching women go through these journeys, also the ideas that we bring up in the embroidery, will continue to make people aware of this and that we can take care of our girls who are going to be our women and mothers in such a way that's better than we've been doing.
Hit the nail on the head.
Tony, well, thank you both for this extraordinary untold story. I mean, I certainly knew nothing about it. And another thing to add to that too is that so many people don't understand that China is not referred to as China in China. It's called Zhongguo. And that this is like something that I feel like most Western countries don't even know about. There's so much to uncover there, especially this incredible writing system called Nushu.
Yes.
Thank you. I also just want to add that, you know, with so much xenophobia in our own country, often you're discouraged from embracing your own culture and your own heritage of your ancestors. And so it's been such a joy to be able to do the opposite, embrace the culture. And we're so grateful to the fine people at the Village for commissioning this and encouraging us all the way.
And it's only the beginning, so there's so much more to see from this show, and we can't wait either.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine and Jason. We can't wait to see what happens with the show.
Thank you for having us.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Our second new musical is Love and Southern Discomfort, which has music and lyrics by Bobby Day and book and lyrics by Monica L. Patton.
When Dowager Mrs. Catherine DeJoie of polite Louisiana society dies, she leaves the entire estate to her estranged granddaughter, Milla, but only if Milla comes home from her self-imposed decade-long exile to bury Catherine. Milla reluctantly leaves her life in France and returns to her ancestral home, a sprawling postbellum southern mansion, and to her mother, a faded alcoholic debutante undone by the burden of bearing the family's legacy. With the help of the family's cherished maid, the women begin to repair their relationship until the reconciliation grinds to a sudden halt when a long-held secret is uncovered.
And now, here's our conversation with the writers of Love and the Southern Discomfort, Bobby Day and Monica L. Patton.
Hi. Hi. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you both so much for being here. You are both celebrated actors with many credits under your belt. Bobby was in Aladdin, The Color Purple, and a production of Sweet Charity that I've heard all about. Yeah. Monica was in The Book of Mormon and Finian's Rainbow. So my first question for you is, when did you become writers? And when did you start collaborating?
Well, our duo began because Bobby and I, he was an alumni of Book of Mormon as well. And so I was in the Second National. He came over to the First National once it had concluded. And we were out over cocktails. And I've been writing poetry, everything, since I've been a child. And you know, and I had just completed psychological thriller. And so I was trying my hand at, you know, being a playwright. And so I said, Bobby, I think I wrote a play with music. I said, can you take a look at it? You know, because he was this fabulous composer. he sat with it for a week, and then like 7 days later he came back with 3 songs, and we've just been rolling ever since. And he is a dream of a partner. It's like I don't know where I stop and he begins.
And what inspired you to tell this story? It's a story we need right now, but it's also a very specific story about family.
The DeJoie family. So my family's from Logansport, Louisiana. And so I grew up with stories of the homestead. And every summer, probably till I was about 15 or 16 when I would protest, but we would go down every summer, and my family has a lot of land on both sides. And so it would just be woods and trees. And we'd go over our Aunt Isaphine, who was like, she passed away at 113, but I felt like she was 113 when I was little. And she would make sweet pickles, and she had a wood-burning stove. And, you know, my mom showed me the house that she grew up with, and she had a cousin staying there. I remember the first time we jumped out, so the woman came out dressed like a man, and she had a shotgun, and she was spitting tobacco in a spittoon. And she was like, we're like, we're cousins. So I kind of was like in between these two worlds. And so my grandfather, he was a piano player. I never felt like he got his due because growing up in the segregated South, you know what I mean? So I kind of like built this story around my grandfather and all of our like colorful relatives, you know, and the family land. And that's where the story came about.
Like Jen mentioned, the show is about family. And I think when I was reading it and listening to the songs, it felt like August Osage County meets August Wilson.
Yeah.
There is some definite homage. I mean, Bobby and I, we've been in classical musical theater together almost 50 years. We have to pay, you know, respects to what our training is. And so I did take from a lot of like beautiful, well-made, very successful musicals. So yes, I did.
And tell us more about the development of your show. You've had a lot of exciting development.
Yes, we do have a lot of options on the tables that we are discussing and have started pre-production. So the show is growing, and we are blessed because of people like you to support us. And thank you so much again for having us.
We're definitely in a time right now where we have to find what other landscapes there are to get our arts out there, especially theater. So we've been really working hard and talking to people and really developing things. So hopefully, yeah. We'll see.
I mean, the theme of the show is just love cures dysfunction. To give love, even when someone is at their lowest, they need to know that they're not going through it by themselves. And so you have the protagonist, Wilhelmina DeJoie, who has been brought up in plenty, but she struggles with holding this family legacy of this Beaumont mansion that has been in their family for 6 generations. And so there is this legacy that she feels like she cannot uphold, that she is not good enough. And we all have those feelings of not being good enough. And so she is estranged from her daughter. And so when the matriarch of the family dies, she is going to lose her inheritance unless her daughter, who she has not spoken to in years, because her daughter does not want to speak to her because of her upbringing and the hardship she had with her mother not being a mother. But she comes home because she has to uphold the legacy as well. So it's about like the family ties that bind. It's about dysfunction. And it's about staying tethered to one another, even when it is so difficult.
Originally, it was called The Inheritance until the play The Inheritance came to New York. And it was about her coming back and have to deal with not only the inheritance of her, you know, family and the home, but what she inherited with her relationship with her mother.
The emotional inheritance, the emotion, the mental, all of that. So I think it's a journey, even though it's specific to a certain family. I think that every family can see themselves into it. There is a character in the world of Love and Southern Discomfort that everyone can identify with, and everyone can identify with dealing with family dysfunction and dealing with addiction. Her whole story is told through this prism of addiction, you know, and will it overtake her? Will she find redemption? So I think that's a journey of universal themes that everyone can relate to.
Absolutely. I think the DeJoie family is fractured, but fractured in the best way possible, where you relate to them because of how fractured they are.
So the show received its world premiere at South of Broadway Theater Company in January of 2020. And as we mentioned, Tamara Tooney is the director. So we have a little video from Tamara.
I'm Tamara Tooney, and I am very excited to have joined the team of Love and Southern Discomfort as the director of this fantastic show. I was really struck at how beautiful and complex this story is. It has so many levels and so many interesting components. It's tackling issues of mental health and addiction and family dysfunction. The music is exceptional. Bobby Day's music is fantastic. The book is strong. We're continuing to develop it and make it even mo better. And it's been an incredible journey thus far. And I can't wait for us to share Love and Southern Discomfort with the world.
And I'm sad Tamara couldn't be with us, but I'm glad to get the message.
She is so amazing. Bobby and I, we just went through another pass through the story with her. And the pearls this woman drops, I'm telling you, we pick them all up.
She sees everything.
Oh, we're sculpting now. It really is. It's like we're excavating, and it's so good. It's so good. We're very happy.
So enough about the amazing Tamara. What is the first song we're going to hear tonight?
Oh, the first song is Memory Lane. This is when Mila, the daughter, is finally going out with a young man that she grew up with. They had a crush on each other. And, you know, he's kind of wondering, has she changed since she's left? Maybe she needs a little reminder of what her home was about, you know, and it's called Memory Lane. This song was written with HBCU written all over it and Second Line. So that's the feeling of it. Yeah.
And who is performing the song tonight?
Nikki M. James and Anthony Wayne.
Woo-hoo!
And here is Memory Lane.
You know what we should do?
No, but I'm sure you're gonna tell me.
We should steal some candy.
You're ridiculous.
I'm gonna take that as a yes.
Can I get you anything else, sir?
The check, please.
Where are you going?
Where are we going?
All right, where are we going?
Down memory lane. I want you to see what you left behind. Leela Gabrielle, let me show you around. Let me show you everything you missed.
Morning, Leela.
You're the new news. You're the talk of the town. You're the one on everybody's lips.
Is that where the moon is going?
Girl, did you see? You're a mystery. Everybody wants to know the truth. To be who you are, did you travel far? Can we trace it back to your roots? I want to take a
walk down memory lane.
Sir, yes, you forgot your credit card.
You never tried to get away.
What's wrong with you?
In my eyes, you were such a prize, like a rare fine Chardonnay.
A rose for your rose.
I'm the girl who likes to see the world and not live in the same routine. Don't get me wrong, but I don't belong, and I'm really not being mean. But don't want to take a
walk down memory lane.
Come on, give me a chance to change your mind. Let go, Mila. Let's be young again. What do you want? Job records, Twizzlers, Raisinets.
Ooh, lemonade.
Yeah. I was dancing to that.
And let me say, I should have said Tony Award winning Nikki and James.
Okay, thank you. Our fellow Book of Mormon sister, yes. And Anthony and I have done many an encore together. So, yes.
That song is just so much fun.
Yeah, totally. I was singing it in the shower today. I really I also wanted to say, since you were gushing about Nikki M. James, I always think about her incredible Tony speech about how she talks about the flight of bumblebees and how no one knows how a bumblebee flies, but no one ever told it that it couldn't. So
exactly.
It knows.
And her performance in The Bubbly Black Girl in Encores a few seasons ago, I still think about as well. She's such a chameleon as an actor and just someone I love to see in everything.
And, you know, we can't do this by ourselves. Shout out to our producer. Our producer partner down there is Andrina Dunnan, and also our partner, the Slater and Pat and Day Slater production.
Adam Slater.
Okay. Not only does Adam protect us in mechanics and in legalities, he's actually also a copywriter. So every and, but, and if in my script, he's looking at it. We see you, Adam.
Well, I know, fun fact, you were telling me when the people playing the waiter and playing the little parts in these songs is the two of you guys and Adam. So Adam is a superhero.
Well, and also just a little tidbit about that. Adam is a huge fan of Book of Mormon. So when he finally was in the same room with Nikki James, we had to have the smelling salts, you know, nearby. Oh my God.
Just a fanboy. But let me tell you. And also shout out to Ken Davenport. He is our Yoda. Thank you so much.
Ken Davenport is on our advisory board. We love Ken Davenport. And we're so glad he's involved with this show.
Well, our next song is that's performed by Ramona Keller. So did you want to set that up for us before we hear it?
Yeah. Okay. Number one, Ramona Keller is amazing. And Ramona actually has been flirting and associating with this project for a long time. Her voice has always been in my head, and I'm so glad that it came true. She delivers and more. Liquid Courage is a reminder that pain and struggle spare no one. And the protagonist, Wilhelmina, she is at the lowest point in her life. And basically, she is saying, I give up. This is what this song right here is, defeat.
And she is Wilhelmina, right?
She is Wilhelmina. Yes, she is.
So here is the amazing Ramona singing Liquid Courage.
See, I've been beat, and I've tried to be strong. Lately, I feel I'm barely holding on. Ooh, I've tried, but my mind's not mine. With courage, and I'll be just fine. Take me high to my mind's not mine. I wore life's crown, and I've been pushed down. Misunderstood in this lonesome town. You see, I gave love, but it wasn't enough. Never accepted for the girl I was. Ooh, I tried, but my break pretty enough, hair not straight enough, never enough. Mm-hmm. For your world of make believe.
My God, that like gut punched me.
And I think we can all relate to that lyric, never enough. What is enough? And also, I love.
Hair never straight enough. Yeah.
I also love the lyric, my mind's not mine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you both so much. We can't wait to see the show on a stage. So thank you both, Monica and Bobby.
Thank you guys. Thank you so much for having us on today.
Of course. Thank you so much. We'll see you guys soon.
Yes, indeed.
If you enjoy The Musicals of Tomorrow, please rate, subscribe, and share. The podcast is co-produced and edited by Paul Mox and Hector Flores Jr. Our theme song, The Music of Tomorrow, was written by Lynn Schenkel and Sarah Cooper for their all-female identifying musical, Perpetual Sunshine and the Ghost Girls. Join us next time for more of The Musicals of Tomorrow.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.